The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance.
BTL, coming at you.
Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Yes, an exciting day here on BTL. You are looking at a live shot of Matthew and Mr. Todd Fairclough. Todd, how you doing, man?
What's up, Mark? How are you, bud?
I'm doing real good. It's been a while. Looks like the weather's great. Looks like you guys are going to have fun at this media event this week.
Yeah, we are up here in Minnesota. I think we actually put in Wisconsin this morning.
I think we're in Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're in Wisconsin. But we're right here on the border on the upper pools of the Mississippi River. And we've got a great riders conference event this week. And going to get some work done and enjoy this little bit cooler weather up here.
Absolutely.
Like Mike McClellan, a very political answer. Dude's been on the road for like 2.5 weeks. He fished a mystery event that we can't ask him about. Yeah. And now he's here. Then he gets to go home for like, what, 5 days?
5 days.
Then he gets to turn around and go to La Crosse to compete at Red Crest.
That is correct.
So, I mean, he's here, but he's making his money. Like we talked about with Mike McClellan in yesterday's show, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road and why you've got the Gamagatsu hat on, the Sunline, the Denali rods, all that is kind of putting in the time here with the media guys. Louis Stout got into town, Todd Seisner, Dan O'Sullivan. I mean, there's a number of guys, and then all the top guys.
What about you?
Well, I'm on the show. and then, you know, they bring in, like, they have the like the president of Spro or Gamagatsu, Spro, all the guys, Casey Shedd from AFCO. So we actually get to get out on the water kind of a couple, like, 2.5 hour segments. Like, I'm watching Ron Champion. We got to get him on tonight, too, by the way. He just got back from the Hobie Worlds in Australia.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. I see him on the other side of the river paddling. Kicking, what does they call that with their?
I think they paddle.
They paddle upstream on the Mississippi in a kayak.
Pretty impressive.
The man has some glutes. The muscles.
That would be
the glutes. He has some impressive glutes, but wow. Anyway, that's what we got going on now.
All right, Todd, I want to do this. I was going back and I was looking at some of your stats, and man, it has been a long time ago, and I know I'm getting old. Seriously, I mean, I'm feeling it every single day. But for the listeners out there, I remember the first time that I ever met you, and it was like 20, 24 years ago at a writer's deal, just like what you're at Sam Rayburn. And it was a young Todd Fairclough that was very quiet, very kind of reserved. And look at you now, man. You're one of the superstars in the game.
Well, I don't know about superstars, but I've had a long, you know, career at it and been successful at it, has some success, and just been fortunate to do it as long as I've done it. And you know, I still enjoy it. You know, I still enjoy getting up in the morning, going fishing and trying to figure out these fish. And you know, we've had a little bit of change this year with a different you know, organization I'm with, and that's been exciting to me as well. You know, just something different format, different style, and it's kind of, I guess, opened another chapter for me, and I'm excited about it.
Todd, how much do you think career-wise, growing up in East Texas and having so much success on those lakes in East Texas really has kind of helped you out in your career?
Oh, definitely. You know, I live on Sam Rayburn, or 15 minutes from Sam Rayburn, 45 minutes from Toledo Bend, and in my opinion, two of the best bass lakes in our country. And you know, if you look back at all the pros that have come from that, you know, graphic, you take, you know, David Warden, Tommy Martin, Larry Nixon started his career on Toledo Bend, you know, Harold Allen. I mean, the list is very long. Lindell Martin, Rick Klund, you know, fished in Texas for quite some time. And, you know, a lot of those guys had long, successful careers. And our lakes have a lot of diversity, a lot to offer. And I think it prepares you you know, for what you do as a professional angler. About the only thing our lakes don't offer is super clear, clear water. And, you know, finesse tactics usually aren't the strength in the South, on Rayburn and Salida. But you can learn how to do them. You just probably aren't going to win any tournaments.
Yeah. All right.
He's kind of learned how to do them pretty good there. just a few clear water fisheries.
Who would have thought my very first professional career win would have been on a spinning rod on 6-pound test line on Table Rock Lake?
That's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah. All right, let's talk about this season real quick. You finished sixth in the standings on the BPT, right at 72,000 in earnings. You qualify for 3 of the 4 cup events, and then obviously you're in the Red Crest. How would you classify your season, Todd?
Very good, consistent, you know, season. I feel real good about it. I really felt like I had, you know, a couple of opportunities to, you know, have better finishes than what I did. But overall, it was just, I feel it was a success. You know, I'm still, as like a lot of these guys, trying to figure out the format, you know, and how to be more efficient at the format. It's different from what we're used to. And, you know, I felt like I kind of got a groove, you know, after about the second, third event, and, you know, put together some pretty good strings of finishes.
One of the things that we were talking about right before we went live, Mark, was Todd was talking about how he felt kind of like rejuvenated and had so much fun this year. And what I wanted to ask you, unrelated to the format, the changes or anything, you got a lot of guys who watch this, who just fish weekends and stuff. And I mean, I've been in the boat with some guys who get pretty frustrated and you could tell like they're not having fun in the club tournaments. You know, Jeffries is always a joy to be with in the water when here not bite. But from a fishing perspective, how important is it to be having fun, to be enjoying what you're doing? Now, I know it's a job for you here, but do you think the guys who are having fun and really enjoying this catch more fish than someone who's kind of gets kind of stuck in a rut and it's, oh, here's another day?
100%. You know, 100%. The guys that are excited about going to an event or excited about getting up in the morning going fishing, they're going to be more successful because they want to be there, you know. And you know, it's just like any job. You know, guys work at a job for so long and they just get kind of, I don't know, you get kind of stagnant with it, you know. And you change jobs and it's like it opens up another door to you, and you get excited about it again, you know. And that's kind of where I'm at. You know, it's not that I never did not get excited about fishing. It's just different. It's different. It's something different. And, you know, it's just exciting to me, and I'm having fun.
All right. I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say the best fish catch I've seen in professional bass fishing and covering this for 12, 13 years, you boat flipped a 9 this year.
I did.
Boat flipped a 9. Biggest fish you've ever boat flipped.
It was.
Do you have that rod in the boat?
I do have that rod.
Let's see it. Let's see it. Bring it out. I'm going to flip it around here.
Boat
by the way, he carries
nines.
Like, look at how many rods do you get? Like, what if you want to get that bottom one out? What do?
You just have to kind of, dig for it. You know, I'm not going to.
Oh, that's the one right at the top right there?
Oh, yeah.
This is the rod.
That is the rod. Yeah.
What pound test?
It was a 60-pound Sunline braid. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Is that the same braid, or have you?
No, I've probably switched the braid.
How often do you switch your braid?
I don't switch it very often, but I figured I boat flipped a 9-pounder. I should retire that line.
So what is it? It's an 8.
This is a Denali Cobart series, 7'8", extra heavy. And I didn't realize, I thought it was like a 7 or 8 pounder when it come up by the boat, and I had the momentum coming with it, and I just, you know, I had 60-pound Sunline braid, so I just felt like it'd be pretty easy, and I about ripped my hand open when I grabbed the line to try to keep him from touching the carpet, and I was like, I probably shouldn't have done that when I realized how big he was.
All right, hold this. I just want to see what it feels like. I've been highly impressed with this. I just want to get a feel for the... That's got some give in it. I mean, it's not like a pool here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you flipped a 9-pounder on this.
I think it was a 9.5, wasn't it, man?
I mean, yeah, I didn't want to short you there. The 9.5.
Was it that size hook?
It was that size hook, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's
a Gamagatsu.
No, that's interesting. I'm flipping it around here because this is something right here. Yeah. All right. I think a lot of guys flip with like a 5 or a 6, and that's a 3.
That is a 3.
Why?
I prefer a smaller hook, and there's a few reasons for it. Whenever you're flipping bushes and stuff like that, the smallest hook I can get into the bait is the hook that I want to use, because I don't want a big gaff sticking out of that fish. Because I think that's what causes you to lose a lot of fish, is when you hook them, they start running around in the cover, and if that hook point's sticking out of his head a long ways, it'll get caught in a branch or something, and that's how you lose the fish. So I try to use the smallest hook I can whenever I'm flipping brush and vegetation. Whenever you're punching, the smaller hook, you know, it's just a smaller, more compact, so it's going to go through the cover better. That's my theory on it. It works for me, and I'm going to stick with it.
And you snell, too.
I do snell.
All the time.
No.
No?
I don't snell unless I'm punching. This is a big weight here, and this is my punching setup. But whenever I'm flipping like a half ounce or less weight, I just tie a polymer knot and generally do it that way.
Why?
I just seem like I have a better hookup ratio. The big weight, I can't explain it to you. I don't. This is just my theory on it. I put a toothpick in my weight, and when that weight, the heavy weight, comes up and it comes up like that, it's going to hit the fish's mouth. But with a smaller weight, I think a lot of times with the snail, it might just blow right through. So
that's you use a toothpick still?
Yeah, man, I'm old school.
Wait,
yeah.
Just like a straight up toothpick from like Big Boy's Diner.
That's right, man, just like that.
So there's no.
No, I don't use a.
He's not lying, Mark.
He's old school like me, man. Jeez.
I mean, that never crossed your mind like I'm going to put a bobber stop on?
Oh, I'll try a bobber stopper. I hate a bobber stopper.
Why?
Bobber stoppers, I don't know, man. It's just I think it's kind of like a fad. You know, guys think everybody throws a bobber stopper. I'm going to throw a bobber stopper. I don't like a bobber stopper. Bobber stopper is just something else to get like scum or something on your weight. I just have the weight here. A bobber stopper doesn't keep your weight from pounding down on your plastic. And when you're punching a real big weight, it's going to pound down on your plastic, and it's going to eventually wear your plastic out. With a toothpick, I can keep the weight about an eighth of an inch above my plastic in place, and it gives the bait a little bit of freedom. It gives a little bit more action, I think. And also it helps with the hookup ratio, in my opinion. But I'm old school, you know.
You're not that. Okay, so that's a striking weight.
Yes, it is.
But you also did something to it.
I do.
I know. You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. But, I mean, for being old school, that's not old school what you did to it.
No, I put an insert in it. And I've just always put inserts in my tungsten weight. You don't have to. But it's just one of my... I guess you'd say little cachet deals that just kind of bothers me. I don't like to fish a tungsten weight without an insert. Do you need it? Probably you don't need it, especially with Strike Kings, but I don't know. I like a little insert just for a little added protection.
Should I not have mentioned that?
No.
Sorry.
No, not at all.
All right.
That's it. Let's go.
All right. I want to go to the instant feedback. David in Wisconsin wants to know what your go-to flipping bait is.
If I had to pick one bait to flip with, it'd be a Strike King structure bug. And that's the bait that I caught the 9-pounder on earlier this year. It's just a real versatile bait. You know, you can fish wood cover with it. You can fish grass with it. We got it in a variety of different colors. It can mimic a crawfish. It can mimic a brim. And it's just a bait that I've got a super bunch of confidence in.
All right. Todd, we haven't had you on in a while, and I've asked a lot of the MLF guys this. With the format that you guys are doing, do you like the multiple lake formats, or would you rather see it just on one lake for the entire event?
Well, I guess that would probably depend on, Mark, how you were doing on that lake. If you're not catching them very good, you'd probably like to go somewhere else. If you're catching them good, you'd probably like to stay. But I think it shows the true versatility of an angler when you take him out of his comfort zone and put him on a lake that, you know, maybe he hadn't been to in a few days. So I like it. I think it shows, you know, the cream of the crop kind of rise to the top when you give them different lakes to be on and they have to figure it out in a short amount of time. I think it's real good for competition. You know, a guy gets on a lake and he's on them and he gets out to a big lead, you know, and he found the cream of the crop area. It's going to be hard for a guy to catch up. But if you take him off that lake and put him on a different body of water, it totally changes, you know, the outcome of tournaments because now you've taken him away from that spot and he's got to find another one.
All right, on the instant feedback, Brian from Lake Norman. We had Mike Iaconelli on the show last week, and he was pretty vocal about wanting and feeling that you guys should be able to use your own boats in the Cup events. Any thoughts on that? Is that something? And I think a lot of people out there realize, obviously, it's a sponsor situation of which, I mean, that's just how it is. But the game has evolved. Any thoughts on whether or not you would prefer using your own boat in the Cup events?
Well, I think we all, as pro anglers, would prefer to be in our own boats. It's just, you know, we're more comfortable, you know, with how it's set up. We're more comfortable with the way everything runs, how everything works. If there's a problem, you know, with something, we can probably adjust it and fix it, stuff like that. But, you know, the Cup events are extra events that we qualify for that, you know, are just kind of bonus events. So, you know, that's kind of how they sell that sponsorship to those sponsors. And I understand it. And it's all equal. We're all out there in the same identical boat and equipment. So, you know, there's no advantage over the other. So I'm okay with it.
All right.
Would I prefer to fish out of my own boat? You know, absolutely. But I'm okay with what they have going on.
So they're filmed in the dark. You just got, I mean, it's no secret that you just filmed one in the dark. So here's my question. You've got all these guys that are fishing in it. It won't come out to the next quarter. It's on there. What do you have to sign? And what happens if someone lets the cat out of the bag? Do you like get put in jail? Do you get sued for $1 million? Like, what's the, because everyone does such a good job at it. I'm thinking like that it has to be pretty freaking severe for no one to be like, not even hinting. I mean, we have these guys on it. So what,
we have to sign a non-disclosure, and that's a full page long non-disclosure. So it's pretty serious stuff. So, you know, when somebody wants to know something about it and you say you can't tell them about it, he's not trying to be rude. He just really can't tell you anything about it. And that's what creates a lot of buildup, you know, to the show and everything is the unknown. You know, guys sit down to watch it for the first time and they don't know what's about to take place. So that's how they build that. That's how they get people to tune into the show. And, you know, I look forward to seeing who won it. You know, I look forward to seeing who won the first Cup event I didn't get to.
You don't know who won the second one?
I got a clue.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it's played it off well.
All right, David.
I don't have any. I didn't fish the first one, so I have no idea who won it.
Right. All right, David wants to know, are you going to plan on running the new FXR next year?
Absolutely. I just ordered it last week, and super excited about it. I have not had an opportunity to ride in one yet, but I have you know, seen the pictures of it and seen some of the different stuff aspects about the boat, and it looks pretty sweet.
That's all a right. Cool bracelet. What is that
on my bracelet?
Yeah,
it's my swivel bracelet.
Swivel bracelet.
My kids got me that for Christmas 3 or 4 years ago.
Very nice. All right, Matt, Todd, you guys are on the water there. Besides this week, have you been on the body of water that you're on right now before, Todd?
I never have. We're in pool 5A. Is that not right? Is that right, Matt?
I literally just figured out how to get to the ramp. I have no idea.
We're on pool 5A, so there's 5A, and then there's pool 6, and then there's pool 7, which is the Onalaska pool, and then you have pool 8, which is the lacrosse pool.
This is this happens every 20 seconds here. Just bear with us for a short minute.
What, yeah, the train?
The trains are real popular here along the Mississippi River.
Oh, yeah.
going to hit it again here in about five. And maybe not as bad this way.
And they're super long trains. Have you noticed that, man?
Have you noticed how good the graffiti is on them?
No.
Like, seriously, when you're up there for lunch, look, there are some very talented graffiti artists.
Can you get a shot of it, or is it too far away?
Yeah, there it is. It's right there. We're just across from the ramp.
Oh, okay. I got you.
You want to see what Todd's about to do, Mark? Yeah, you want to? You got any other instant feedback questions?
No, we're good.
All right, so this is why Todd makes the big bucks. So it's, what is it, like 83, 84 degrees out?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, so AFCO has a new beanie. So we're after shoot. Put that thing on, Todd. This is what you get paid to do. We got to shoot a video of him in the half beanie.
All right, here we go.
Here it is right here. Todd in the half beanie. And then we also have to shoot one on the gloves, Mark.
How about it?
So that's why Todd gets the big bucks from AFCO out here in the 80 degrees shooting the new half beanie. Your ears warm? That's the whole point of that one.
Yeah, it definitely will keep you warm.
And then the gloves. How about that, Mark?
How about a jacket? Does he have to throw on the jacket too?
You know, that's a good idea. If you're doing it in a short sleeve Sunline shirt, we might have to idle back to the ramp and get a jacket. So
yeah, that's not going to fly.
A little bit more real there. So that's what we got. That's what we got in the next hour. It looked really good, though. It really did.
I don't know. With the T-shirt, are you kidding me? Come on, man.
We're going to have to go get a jacket. Now that we bring it up, that looked ridiculous. Okay.
That's not good. All right. The body of water, and this is cool that we're able to do this stuff on the water. The body of water you're on right now, I'm kind of looking at the background. I see some laydowns. I see some stuff in the water. What's your first initial thought? And I know you're close to the takeoff, but what's your first initial thought of this place, Todd?
You know, we're just idling across the river. You know, the water clarity in the main river here is really good. So, you know, there's a lot of current right now in the main river. Not a lot, but, you know, a good bit. I'd say probably 2 mile an hour current, man, looks like maybe. And so, you know, the water temperature is pretty warm for this part of the country here. So I would definitely start somewhere where the water's moving. I don't want to be in a dead end something, you know. I want to be where the water's moving a little bit. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fish on the main river. And then, you know, you'll have these little tributaries or little, you know, creeks like are behind us here that run through that'll have some current in them as well, you know, that run all the way through around these islands and stuff.
Is that a bald eagle?
That is a bald eagle.
Look at that bald eagle.
How about that?
Wow.
You see it, Mark? He's coming this way.
Oh, yeah, I see him.
He's right. He's literally going to...
Call him in, Matt.
What's it sound like, Todd?
I don't know.
Can you see him? Is it in the screen?
Yeah, I see it. That's awesome. Kind of cool. Yeah.
That's a great way to end it right there.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, he landed.
All right, Todd, a couple more questions, and then we'll let you guys get back to doing what you guys got to do up there. You mentioned earlier your first win, you know, 6-pound test on clear water and everything. But have you built a lot more confidence fishing up north than you have, you know, when you first started out? Do you feel really, really comfortable fishing for smallmouth and on these northern bodies of water?
Yeah, definitely. A lot more confident than I did when I first started. I'll tell you a little story here. My very first, what was it, top 150 at that time, Kmart top 150, I think at the time, that Lake St. Clair in Michigan. That was my very first professional event on Lake St. Clair. I'll give you, this is how long ago this was. We didn't have, I didn't have GPS on my boat. We started on the Detroit side. I wanted to go over to the other side of the lake. I'd never fished a body of water where I couldn't see the bank on the other side, and it was foggy that morning. Before I left the house, my dad gave me a handheld compass like sailboaters use, and I kind of shot across the lake where I thought my spot was, and that's how I got over there to my spot. And I pulled up there, and I was throwing a Carolina rig on a flipping stick, I think.
I stole a Carolina rig on a flipping stick, and I caught 17 or 18 pounds of smallmouth in like the first hour and a half, and I was like doing jumping jacks on the front deck of my boat. Didn't have a clue what I was doing, man. That just shows you how good Lake St. Clair was. But that was my first experience of fishing smallmouth in my very first, professional tournament. So I've come a long ways. I've learned a lot of different stuff. I've become a more versatile fisherman. And, in order to be successful out here, you've got to be able to do it all. And I feel like I'm as comfortable with a spinning rod in my hand as I am a flipping stick now. So, and I'm still learning. That's the neat thing about our sport is we learn. If you stop learning something, you're probably done. So I'm still learning stuff, and that's the cool thing about our sport.
All right, what are your thoughts going into the Red Crest? A little bit of experience on the Mississippi River. What are your thoughts?
You know, I love the Mississippi River up here. I won an event up here the very first time we came here, and I finished in the top 10. I know at least one other time I finished second in an MLF Cup event here. So I really like it. I really feel like I have a grasp and understanding of what to look for, and I'm super excited about it.
All right, Matthew, anything else?
No, I think we're good. We got to go idle over and get Todd a jacket so he doesn't look ridiculous for this.
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe you were going to shoot that in a t-shirt. Jeez.
Well, first time you tried it on, I never claimed to be the brightest crane in the box.
That would have looked ridiculous. Jeez. All right, I want to let everybody know tomorrow we're going to have A-Mart on the water, just like Todd was today. And then tonight and tomorrow night, we're doing a special evening show at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. Who knows what's going to happen during that thing, Matthew?
I hear Aaron's going to run all the way to the dock in the morning, or the boat ramp in the morning. Did you hear that?
No.
Ask him if he run in the morning.
With no shoes on?
No. I think he's going to wear shoes.
Carrying his pet cat?
What? Wow.
I think the cat's at home.
With a homemade burrito in his back pocket.
Yeah, organic burrito.
Jeez. All right, that's going to wrap it up today. Folks, make sure you join us tonight, 8:30 p.m., not a.m., 8:30 p.m., right here for an unpredictable PM show with, I have no idea who we're going to have on. We're going to have a bunch of people on. There's going to be a bunch of people there. What, are you doing it from the conference room again, Matthew?
There's like a tiny spider on my screen. Do you see that?
I do see that.
That is the smallest spider I've ever seen. Look at it. See it crawling? That's a spider.
Yeah.
Great.
It's like as if a... What? Wow. That might be a new species, Mark.
Oh,
jeez. Like,
let him bite you.
There's no way you could bite me.
Don't say that.
That's not true. End up in the hospital. You'll end up in the hospital. All right, where are you doing the show at tonight, Matthew? Do you know?
No clue.
Restaurant? Conference room?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Work. All right. All right, folks. Todd, great seeing you again, man. Thanks for taking time out. I know you got a busy couple of days. This is really cool to have you on the water, and look forward to seeing you soon, man.
Good to see you, Mark. Take care, bud.
All right, Matthew, I'll talk to you tonight. That's it. We're out of here.